Good morning. My name is Kees Hertog. Together with Frank Weigel, we want to share with you the exciting journey we're on to change the fundamental equation of the value you get out of business apps versus the cost and effort it takes to build business applications. When you look at reality today, there's only a handful of business applications or business apps or apps, custom apps, that will really merit the benefit of custom app development. And there's a few reasons for this. First of all, the time it takes. On average, it takes 3 to 12 months to build a custom line of business app. 3 to 12 months. Secondly, the cost. An average app that's being built is about 180K. And that's just first-time development, let alone changes and iterations. So there's something wrong with this equation. Then, of course, you can say, hey, let's revert to off-the-shelf applications that come with our SaaS workloads, etc. But these applications and their workloads have often developed to solve very, very specific problems. So if you're in an IT organization and you look at the need of your customers, your internal customers, what happens with the rest? Because the backlog, 85% of the IT organizations have a backlog of 6 to 12 months in building apps for line of business. So what we want to share today is things that we bring to the market as Microsoft to help address this problem. And of course, we have this rift between what IT can deliver and needs versus what the business wants. And we all know that more and more of the IT budget is getting under control of line of business. You can read all the analyst reports, etc. The marketing team, if they don't get what they want, you just go buy their own thing. They have their own budget, they have their own control. So on one side, business wants fast, beautiful apps. They're used to all the consumer apps on their phones. They need to be able to make quick read, because guess what? Business doesn't stand still. Process continues to change. It needs to be cross-platform. iOS, Android, Windows, browsers, etc. There is no one standardization anymore. And of course, they need to be beautiful. As I said, people are used to these beautiful consumer applications. And there's no user training. They don't want to go back and relearn an application. It needs to be intuitive and easy. And of course, we have the other side of the equation here. What does IT care about? Of course, security. We all know that line of business, there's hundreds or thousands of apps out there, Excel sheets, Access databases, etc. They're out there. But are they secure? Of course, it needs to scale. Something that starts for an individual or a department, if it catches on, it needs to scale across the organization. One site, multiple sites, national, international. And of course, the management. If things keep on changing, how do you keep track of all the versioning? And can I make sure it's all integrated? I have all these data sources. I have all these systems already in place. I got my ERP system in place. I don't want to replace that thing. That's brain transplant. Nobody wants to do brain transplant. And depending on the industry you're in, there's things that regulators want from you. So you have this rift between IT and the business side that both are very, very right. So how do you meet us in the middle? In July, Microsoft announced a new strategy for line of business applications. We announced a few things. First of all, Dynamics 365, our new workloads in the cloud. sales, marketing, care, operations, etc. But fundamental to this strategy is the application platform. And that's what we're talking about today. Something that's built on Azure, empowers all these things, and enables, for example, custom line of business applications, or enables third parties to build line of business applications more quickly. The coherency of this strategy is key to Microsoft's ability to help our customers with their digital transformation. So today we want to show some stuff to help you imagine what that can be and what that will be. And we're actually going to start out with a demo to showcase some of the capabilities of this technology that one of our customers have used in a real life implementation. Let me welcome Sage Frank.
Good morning, everyone. Excellent. Thanks so much, Case. So, my name is Frank Weigel. I run product management for Power Apps and Flow, which you're going to hear a lot about today. Very excited to talk about what Neil Analytics has done. It's one of these problems that when you walk around through your life, you never really think about it. But then once you start to actually think about the problem, you realize it's far less trivial than one thinks. In this case, it's about vending machines, right? We all seen these vending machines. You go and you get your drink, your hot drink, and anybody who worked long hours always, you know, enjoys getting the coffee like at 2 a.m. or something. You don't think much about it except for, of course, if you don't get your coffee, right, then you tend to be extremely unhappy. And that's a problem. And the companies who stand up these machines want to make sure that doesn't really happen, both because, well, people wouldn't be happy, but most importantly, it also means they have to sell less. At first, you think, like, well, that can't be that hard, right? You just have a truck going around and keep restocking these machines. What's the big deal? And maybe in the old days, that worked quite well. The problem is, of course, you have a lot of these machines, and you don't want to have drivers who keep driving and stopping at each customer with a machine and go and open it and go, oh, I need some coffee and some of this and some of this. And so what Mars, together with Neil Analytics, have done is they've actually IoT-enabled these drinks vending machines in Germany. So when you buy a drink, or buy a coffee, or buy a soup from one of their machines, it actually will send signal back into Azure, and now it provides data. Now Azure can know whether the machine is low on stock or not. Now, that by itself already would be very handy, but where it gets even more exciting is that they're combining this with the power of the new platform and machine learning and so on in order to provide data to now build on a predictive model so that they can actually, in advance of you running out of stock, go and say, oh, I think this customer would run out of stock. So with that, let me show you the what they've done. I just need to switch over. And we'll kick off with the Power BI dashboard that they've created. So this is Power BI. As you will learn, the key parts of the platform are Power BI, Power Apps, and Flow. In this Power BI dashboard, the analyst now gets a great readout on what the situation currently is for a specific set of customers. So here, they can see, for example, that this customer called Ponath is actually already out of stock for one specific items. But the neat thing is, thanks to machine learning, they can predict that they will run out of stock for other items by the end of the day. So this is now information that you normally wouldn't have, even if you go and check the machine. And so based on the customer and the, you know, velocity of them buying and what products they sell at which times, they can drill into this. And so here, just in Power BI, just select these two items that will run out. And you can actually get some more details. You can see, okay, the system predicts that they're going to run out of one set of coffee and one set of vegetable soup. So this is now the information that the analysts have. And fine, so it can, you know, call up or update an Excel spreadsheet and tell their drivers, hey, we need more coffee, we need a vegetable, you need to go to Ponath. That's the name of this company in Germany. That's already great, but the nice thing is, thanks to all these new things we are putting together, you can do even better. So what Neil Analytics has done is they've created an app specifically for these delivery drivers using Power Apps. So this is working on the same data that you've just seen, and this is something that's in pilot in Germany at the moment. So you'll see some of these locations will be over there. So you start your day as a driver, and this app is specifically just for you. So it tells you, great, it's today, we know we're in Atlanta, and we have 8 total refills coming up and 6 stockouts. So fine, I'll get started. It welcomes you with the list of items I need to load on the truck. Remember, I'm going to go to lots of different customers, and so this is the combined list. So I just go to my warehouse and I start collecting the items as I need, and I just go and tick them off, and I load my truck, and then I say, okay, I'm set for the day, my truck is ready, and we really should add a SIM card, I guess. and then I say, okay, I'm readily loaded. So now it's accessing the database to understand what are the different customers that I need to go to in order to stock up. And so it's now talking to the backend, getting that list of customers that I need to go and visit. And in this case, it asked me to go to Siegfried GmbH first. Now, because this is on a mobile device, I can actually go and just simply click on this, and it will open the native map application on the device so that it can go and help me figure out how to get there from where I am. Okay, and then as I go back, I will simply be able to just follow along on this. I will simply be able to head back to Power Apps, and I'm back in the application. And here now, I tell the system, okay, I've arrived. And so now that I've arrived, it will do a similar list to before, where it will actually show me the product specifically for Siegfried GmbH. So that's the company where I am heading first on my list. So again, I see the list of items that I should put on my dolly this time. So I go and unload them from my truck onto the dolly. Okay, I've got them all ready to roll. Like I said, tell them my loading is complete. And now it tells me about the machines where I'm meant to be going. And so in this case, this site only has a single machine. I can select that, and it actually shows me the graphic where I can see directly which of the sleeves need to be going where, right? Because you know you open the machine, and then of course you don't see the pictures anymore. So they give you the location, and you can see they tell directly the codes for each of the drinks that needs to go to a specific place. And with that, I can now go and restock the machine just as I needed to. And so I can say I'm complete. This was the one machine, so I'm done with the customer. And I will now go back to the overview. And you see the next customer is already coming up. And I will just go and repeat all of this. And so you see with this one app built on Power Apps accessing a variety of different data sources, I can actually go and do my whole day with a single application that takes me through all the different steps of the tasks that I have. And you'll see that these kind of task-specific apps are something that is really quite common. With Power Apps, especially because you can work across systems, across data sources from a single system. Now, one of the extensibility things that they're currently working on for this application, let me quickly switch to, I think, 6, hopefully, is to integrate it with Microsoft Flow. So Microsoft Flow is another part of the platform for workflow and for tying things together. One of the neat things is it integrates directly into Power Apps. So they can simply add a button into this app that we just showed you to report an issue. Let's say as they arrive, the water machine has a problem. Maybe it's sprung a leak or something like this, and you want to be able to notify maintenance that they need to come out. So they can add a control, and the control will then be able to trigger a workflow, in this case, trigger a Microsoft Flow. With Flow, you have a very easy way of building multi-step, conditional, nested, all kinds of good stuff, and it can just show you an easy way how this would look. In their case, they are planning on updating a SharePoint list. So you can see they select the server, they select which machine, SharePoint list, in this case, the maintenance log. Then these things are actually parameters that will be passed in from the Power App. So in the Power App, you will know what the machine number is that they're currently visiting, what the notes is that you can type into the app, or what the priority is, if it's high priority or not, or maybe even low priority. And so then you can simply do conditionals. In this case, we're going to check, you know, is it high priority item, in which case we can send out push notifications. We can send that push notification actually directly to the device so that maintenance staff gets alerted via the Flow mobile app wherever they are. And then we can use these as parameters and tell them, you know, this machine has a problem with these notes, and then they can go and respond quickly. Make this a little bit easier to read. Yes, that's better, thanks. So you can see you can use these placeholders inside. If I click on it, you actually see all the variables, all the parameters that get passed in from previous steps. Now, if it wasn't a high priority item, we just decide how we want to notify. We're saying if it is normal priority, we send an email, same pattern. And if it's not even a normal priority, if it's low priority, we basically just don't do anything. The item appears in the SharePoint list, and maintenance will pick it up from there. Great. So I think this was a quick scenario, a quick solution that Neil Analytics is building to give you an idea of how all these different pieces of the platform come together to solve business problems. And I can tell you that all of this, all these apps, the machine learning model still required some programming, but everything else did not require a single line of pro developer code being written. This is all being done with a new power tier that allows business analysts and power users to create these applications. So with that, let's go back to slides. So this is the what we call the power tier, and we like to think of it as having three pillars, really. We've got the measure pillar, which is all about being data-driven, analyzing your data, and understanding what you should be doing, right? And Power BI, of course, a great tool. I hope many of you have tried it already. It's a very, very powerful, very easy, very intuitive BI solution in the cloud. We then have Power Apps, which is we went into public preview at the beginning of May. It's our application building tool, lets you build applications without writing code. You have expressions, and later on we'll show a quick demo, and Microsoft Flow, which you just saw as the workflow tool. Now, as a platform, all of these are closely integrated, and that's what we'll talk in the roadmap section a little bit more. You already saw how, you know, triggering flows from Power Apps, for example, is very trivial, and everything is close and easy to work together with. Still, if you just have this tier, we know there are problems, for example, like the machine learning, or sometimes maybe complex scheduling algorithms, which go beyond what you really want to try and express without writing code. I mean, there's good reasons why we have a lot of pro developers, because some problems just lend themselves best to traditional software approaches. And so we equally have then what we call the pro tier, which are in the same pillars, the services and offerings we have that are aimed at the pro dev, the pro developer, the pro integration person, and they can go and now extend and provide components to that power tier so that it becomes really easy to go and integrate pro dev functionality from the tier where your business users or your analysts can build solutions. And the reason why we are so excited about having an offering that doesn't require pro development is that often the people who have the best understanding of what the workflow should be, what the need is for the specific task, are not actually the developers, but are people who sit in the business group, right? However, in the business group, you typically don't have people with pro dev skills. Very, very rarely does that happen. And so with this set of, with this offering, with this platform, we now let you combine both teams. So the pro devs can provide interfaces, can provide components, but then the analysts or power users can put them together to create these workflows specific to their area, to their task, knowing the business. They can easily change and adapt it, which is the other thing that, of course, with traditional development always is tricky. You pay some contractors to develop software, and then you want to adapt your process, and you need to pay them again. So with this, it's very easy to adapt. Underlying both the pro tier as well as the power tier, we now have data, and we provide really two main ways of getting to your data. One is the Common Data Platform, which we introduced last month and which we're very, very excited about. You'll find the other sessions about this. This is really a data platform, an application platform that we provide as part of Power Apps. It lets you scalably and securely store data. And this way, if you're creating new data in your application, you have automatically an easy place to put that data. More excitingly though, this is truly intended to become the common data. It has a standard schema, a common data model, which means that everybody who uses it will have the same schema, for example, to represent a customer or a product. That allows ISVs or partners to create software that you can simply deploy in another environment for another customer because you already know the schema, the way the data will be structured at that other customer. And so then it makes it extremely powerful. We'll talk a little bit more later when we go into AppSource and other things. And then lastly, there are the connectors and gateways, which is if your data is not in the common data platform, you can still, of course, access it. We've got a great team, a great selection of gateways and connectors, connectors to lots and lots of data sources, as well as ones to trigger, you know, to APIs, to trigger actions, to take actions like send emails, send notifications. And then gateways, finally, to take back and access your on-premise data, for example, in SharePoint lists or SQL Server. Let's drill in a little bit more into this common data platform, just because it really is, it's very new and it's so crucial to what we're building here at the application platform. First of all, of course, it's a lot more than just a data store, right? Yes, that's the practical use in many cases. You put your data in it, but of course, it's a lot more than a database. It starts with a security model. So this is where the security for data access all gets managed. So you have roles, you have the ability to find and control who can access what part of the data, who got which rights to add entities, modify schemas, and so on. You then have abilities to sync with other services to get the data into the platform. And that will be both for cloud services, first party as well as other ones, and on-premise data via the gateway. So this way you can go and integrate and sync with data that you already have. We'll talk a little bit later about Office integration will come in a similar manner. So some of your Office metadata will also reside and synchronize with the common data platform so that you will be able to do things like joins and so on across all that data. Where it gets especially exciting, you know, we talked about Power BI. We will, in the future, automatically create models for the data in CDM so that out the box, whatever data you store in there, basically, you will be able to use in Power BI for analytics and, in turn, then use that in Power Apps. And, you know, just how you saw for the Neil Analytics for the Mars demo, you know, these three components come together, you will now be able to easily get the whole Power BI model over that data without actually having to do anything. It just comes out of the box. And lastly, we talked already about how it's important that we don't just cater to the power tier, but also to the pro tier. And of course, the data platform will have an SDK that will allow you to interface with it from your pro dev tool of choice, so where standard languages. So either maybe you want to write a certain custom tool and you want to integrate it with some other system, you can use that. Or, of course, if you're an ISV or partner, this is also a route integrate your software directly with the data platform. Okay, let's move on and talk a little bit about extensibility. There was something that was on Kay's slide when we introduced the platform at first. And so Dynamics 365, we announced, 2 months back at WPC. A lot more will be kind of revealed about the details. But a key thing to realize is that Power Apps and Flow and Common Data Model are all integral parts of how people will extend Dynamics 365 offerings, right? Both for running custom business applications as well as for working with the data that you maybe have via your customer service data or your operations aspect, right? The ERP or CRM systems and so on. All of these will be tied together by AppSource, and the platform we're presenting here is the extensibility way for that overall platform. The nice thing is, the same platform is also the way to extend Office. We're actually already closely integrated directly into the new SharePoint Modern List experience. I don't know who here has is already lucky enough. I think they rolled out a certain percentage of production users already for the new Modern List experience. It's a great way of freshening up how SharePoint does Modern Lists and includes now mobile applications. And we have the SharePoint, we have Flow and Power Apps directly integrated. You actually can faintly see there are some buttons directly in the SharePoint UI to create a Flow or create a Power App that directly works on that data in the SharePoint list. You can launch that application from the mobile app. So if you're in the SharePoint mobile app and you want to get that custom interface to a list, you simply launch it from there and it will launch the associated Power App so that on your mobile, on your cell phone, you can now go and interact with that data via directly the right forms rather than just seeing a generic list. And so there's lots of excitement equally around Flow. You've got workflow with an intuitive designer directly integrated into SharePoint now. And that's just the first of other integrations with Office 365. So once you get to know our platform, once you get to know Power BI, Power Apps, and Flow in the common data platform, that knowledge will allow you not just to build awesome standalone line of business apps, but also be used to extend Office and Office 365 and Dynamics 365. Before we dive into a few more use cases, let me share a few numbers. So we went into public preview at the beginning of May. So in the last 4 months already, we've been very excited to see people trying out Power Apps and Flow. We've got over 100,000 creators who started working with the platform across more than 40,000 organizations and basically across the world. So very excited, and I hope many of you helped us get that number up. And so with that said, let's look at a few more use cases, what customers are doing with this platform today. And back over to you, Case.
Thank you, Frank. As Frank said, we've been in preview with these services, and we had some customers that have been working their IT departments, working with our partners and with our line of business units to look at addressing some of these real-world business problems. So one of these customers here is Genie. Genie has these beautiful blue, very blue lifts, and you can see them on a lot of construction sites. You'll see them probably around the conference center here. They're based out of Redmond, Washington, so close to Microsoft headquarters. And they focused on a very specific process around quality control. You can imagine that if in Genie there's a lot of concerns around compliancy and risk around the quality of the product, because if a lift doesn't work or a component breaks down and somebody's on top of the lift, there's all kind of bad things that happen. To date, that process was paper-based. There's nothing more flexible than paper, but it has some drawbacks. So they built an app. So an engineering department, together with a partner, Ramp Group, one of the Microsoft partners there in the neighborhood, built an app that focused on the quality control process. So the app is used by the people on the shop floor that do the control steps. They scan the barcodes from the machines, and the app gives them instructions what to do, what to check. They have to provide evidence. They need to take pictures of the step to make sure they have a validated set of information that this control step actually happened. It also takes a timer. And this allows engineering to also focus on opportunities for improvement. So if I measure my real-time processes, I get more and more data about the process execution and allows me to look at where can I improve time and do I take too much steps, etc. It also gives the users detailed instructions. Instruction manuals always up to date which quality steps to take. Another one of the customers we've been working with is IPS. IPS is an organization here in the US. They have about 22 sites across the US. They do re-engineering work on electric engines. So if you look at the big windmills, they have a big motor on there. If it breaks down, it ends up at IPS. And IPS does a few things. First, they look at, hey, what's wrong? They need to do a diagnostic. Based on that information, they need to give a quote to the customer. Hey, this is what's wrong. This is what we've diagnosed. This is what it's going to cost us. After the customer agrees, then it goes deeper into the process to do the rework, re-engineering, measure all tolerances, etc. So IPS, in 3 months, built about 15 apps, 15 power apps. Again, very document-centric processes. There is no ERP system that does this out of the box. It's not available. IPS is a very unique organization with unique services. So they use Power Apps in 3 months' time to build a complete system connecting to their billing system, connecting to their CRM system. Lastly, we're excited to share and have on stage one of our customers here, Kent from TransAlta. Kent, thank you, welcome. You can introduce TransAlta.
For those of you who may not be aware of TransAlta, we are a 100-year-old power generation and energy trading company with operations in the United States, Canada, and Australia. In terms of the type of power generation that we do provide, our fuel types include coal, gas, hydro, wind, and lastly, solar. So the scenario I want to talk to you today about is within our wind operations group in Alberta. So this is a group that's going under some transformation themselves, and more specifically in their people resourcing model. So historically, they've been providing 24/7 support of all of our field infrastructure in the wind space. Now, more recently, as a result of low power prices in the province of Alberta, they wanted to change their resourcing model. So they've changed it from 24/7 to 5/8, so providing core business hour support during the weekdays. Now, this isn't to say that we're going to get rid of doing things safely, reliably. We still need to ensure that we're doing that in addition to making our market commitments. So what we did is we came up with a Power App solution to help them do the economic calculations around when they would want to call out a field technician to provide the support as required. So here's a high-level look at our solution architecture. And in the bottom center, you're going to see a wind operator. So envision for now that I'm a wind operator. I'm sitting in southern Alberta in a dispatch room full of 19 different monitors that are overlaying our different SCADA systems. I see an alert that comes up in our SCADA system indicating that we've had a fault. I now need to determine whether or not I need to wake someone up out of bed, pay them overtime in order to come fix this particular wind turbine. So what I'm going to use is this Power App, which we'll see on the left-hand side, my left-hand side, and that's really our user interface that is going to provide these different calculations. Now, what's interesting about this particular Power App is that we're actually bringing in 11 different data sources in order to provide this calculation. In order to facilitate that, we've built an API app. So this speaks to the pro dev scenario that Frank previously mentioned. And by building this API app, we're able to, number one, secure it with Azure Active Directory, but we're also able to decorate it with what's called Swagger. Swagger allows us to plug it into our Power App very easily without a whole lot of coding and complexity. Now, on the back end, we are using a data virtualization platform called Denodo that is doing some level of aggregation of these different data sources and making that available to our API. So some of the data that we're tracking in this application includes a holiday calendar, labor costs, price forecasts, the amount of time it takes to repair a wind turbine based upon a fault code, and some additional market forecast data. So with that said, I'm going to provide a brief demo here. I don't have my dancing shoes on today. So what we're going to see is a Power App. And what I'm going to do for you is to basically walk you through an outage scenario. So here's the front end, the GUI. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to select a date. in terms of when this event may occur. Then what I'm going to see is on my SCADA display, I'm going to have some sort of fault code that's going to show up for a particular site. I'm then going to use that information and input it into the Power App. So we've got a site called Solder Glen, and in this case, the fault code is 99. So what now the Power App has updated to include the type of fault that is and the action that is required in order to fix that. So in this particular case, we've got one turbine that's out, and we can see that there's three techs that are required in order to safely perform this work. It'll take 1 hour to bring online. We're also able to bring in the max speed for this particular wind turbine in addition to the average speed. So this is a real-time data feed that's coming in from our SCADA system. Next, we can see that the amount of revenue that we could claim by actually going and fixing this and the total cost to actually repair this. So I'm going to add this to my task list. But as you notice, the net benefit isn't there. It's actually minus. So in this case, it probably doesn't make sense for me to wake someone up for the company to actually lose money. But let's envision that another scenario, another alarm has come in. And in this case, it's fault code number 3. Now, this particular issue is actually related to 3 different wind turbines. And we can see, once again, the fault description is updated, the actions required to fix has been updated, and we can see that there's actually a net benefit of $641. So I'm going to add this to my task list. So in this case, when I combine the two incidents, there is a net benefit, and this is something worth actually calling out. Historically, what we would have done is we would have actually dispatched the previous job even at a loss, and in these economic times, that doesn't make sense for us. So now, another thing that the operator can do in order to validate his decision, at this point he feels pretty confident about what he's about to do, but he can now take a look at some graphs. And the graphs will just reinforce the validation and the calculation that he's just performed. So on the top, we have a pricing model, and really the line that we're most interested is the orange line, which basically says this is what we expect the pricing to be going forward. And then on the bottom graph, we now have really what the market is forecasting in terms of the amount of demand. So based upon the pricing and the market demand, we're going to go ahead and proceed with actually going and dispatching this. Sorry, I'm missing a box. Disabled here. So now with that decision actually been made, what I can actually go ahead and do is actually submit that job. So I'm going to choose to actually dispatch those two particular jobs. And when I do that, we're going to provide an audit trail. And what we do with that audit trail is we actually will save that to SharePoint. And once it's in SharePoint, now the wind business manager can actually go ahead and validate his decision to change his resourcing model in order to ensure that we actually are doing the right thing for the company. So we'll keep track of all of the cost avoidance that has occurred by not dispatching. In addition to that, we will also capture all of the net benefits as a result of actually dispatching those particular work items.
Thank you, Ken. So, love what you've done with Power Apps and how it's used in TransAlta. Give us an idea on kind of how you approach a project in TransAlta with your team.
Sure. So we actually went out to visit our colleagues in Wind. It's a few hours south of Calgary, where I'm from. And actually, we went out for a different purpose. And really, we thought we had a mobile solution that would address one of their use cases, but we found out that this was their priority. So this was something that occurred in late June. And really, we got back to the office. We were aware of Power Apps. We had done some early experimentation with it. So we actually, at that point, kicked off the project. What's interesting about it is we had a new grad that did all of the front-end development. You know, so this is someone just out of school. And then we had 2 other people that had more experience on the back end with APIs and things like that. So over the course of two iterative sessions with our business, we actually were able to roll this out, and actually we went live with it on August 10th. So we've been in production for about 6-7 weeks at this point.
So since production, have you seen any business impact of this application?
Absolutely. It's actually gone over really well. We've actually recovered the cost of the project in actually 1 week of actually using this tool. So the actual net benefit, it continues to pay for itself week over week for us.
Nice. Any other new project that you're considering?
Yeah, absolutely. So based on the success of this, we've actually now seeing interest in our hydro business, right? So the hydro business is always interested in the amount of water that is flowing through the system. We will sign long-term contracts called a power purchase agreement, and basically we need to ensure of our commitment levels are being met. So we're actually in development building a real-time display that is actually showing all of our different water levels and our production output, right on the screens for our hydro dispatch team. So we expect that to go live in a couple weeks.
Nice, nice. Thanks for sharing all this exciting work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we saw some exciting examples from Genie, IPS, and TransAlta, how they're really using a power tier and a pro tier to help make business impact directly. You heard from Kent, live in August, within a week, business benefits. So really enabling the line of business with the power tier combining with IT. Some other use cases that we've seen, Frank shared some exciting statistics of people that have adopted power apps and start using power apps. Of course, there's continuous opportunity here. First and foremost, extending Office 65 and Dynamics 65. And I'll come back to that in a bit later in our packaging model. But you saw Frank talked about our extensibility model for both Office, the work we're doing with SharePoint, deeply integrating to SharePoint lists, as well as how fundamental we are for the new Dynamics 65 strategy. And as you saw in all these examples, it's about multiple data sources. Real-world processes, to make an impact, you need to be able to unlock the data you have in your organization or create the net new data you need with ease with the common data platform. So connecting multiple data sources. A lot of the apps, a lot of the cloud services come with a very targeted mobile app connected to that one source. But when innovation happens when you connect multiple data sources, as we saw with TransAlta, big data sources, forecasts of energy prices, connected to the work and the decisions you can make today to save money. And lastly, it's all about internal apps and workflows. So some examples here, even inside of Microsoft, we start to deploy power apps in our HR processes, employee handbooks, those type of things. We saw with customers around SharePoint that looking at employee onboarding. We're going to do a shuttle app for ourselves. We have a lot of shuttles in Redmond that drive around, and you should be able to book them, et cetera. We're working with an airline and some very specific processes. Airlines apparently have an IT genius bar, so all the airports, they have somebody, they have their own IT support for all the flight staff. You saw some quality control examples. These are all real-world examples that you can use to imagine for yourself what could you do with Power Apps Flow and Power BI in your own organization. So I alluded to it as well earlier. How do we think about packaging? We're slated for a Q4 GA this calendar year. So general availability of Power Apps and Flow in Q4 this calendar year. So of course, then we need to talk about how we're going to package it up. We talked about the importance of Power Apps and Flow for Dynamics 65 and Office 65. So if you have a qualifying Office 65 plan, one of the E-plans, you'll get a version of Power Apps and Flow in your licenses at GA. E-plans, all of them. Dynamics, similar. If Dynamics 65 is a new packaging model, you have individual workloads, so you can buy a suite. You have a similar seated version if you buy one of the workloads. So if you buy sales or custom care, et cetera, you get a similar seeded version that is really optimized in building apps around the data sources, either in Office 365 or in Dynamics. If you buy the entire suite of Dynamics 65 for multiple workloads, you'll get the full version of Power Apps, which comes with CDM. So P2 is the full version, and it comes with the data platform. So we have the seeded version here on the for the viewers on the left side. Then you have, in the standalone version, you have P1, P2. P1 is optimized for consumers. They can still create their own apps, but it's optimized for consumers. And P2 is for creators. Create against any data source for the APIs on-premise or in the cloud, and it comes with CDM and the data platform. Frank talked about it, the data platform, a cloud scalable data platform, comes with a security model, everything you need and expect in an enterprise-ready, enterprise scale-out data platform. The standalone Power Apps also comes with Microsoft Flow bundled in, because we believe that a lot of people that build line of business apps need a good workflow engine. So we give Flow in there. Of course, Flow is also cloud servers you can use standalone. There will always be a free sign up for Flow, so you can use it for your own productivity. Again, it's seated in Office in Dynamics, and there will be a standalone play with Flow as well. You can buy it standalone for all your workflow needs. You can buy a full-fledged version of P1 to run any flow against an existing data source. There is some throttling and around the flows you can run per month. And we have a P2, which has more and more manageability for IT and control around workflows that are executed in your organization. And with that, of course, we want to talk about roadmap. Frank?
So let me do a quick show of hand. Who here has already used Power Apps or Flow? Excellent. That's great. Most of you have, which makes this slide hopefully the more exciting for you, because this is talking about all the great things that we haven't built yet that are coming out either later this quarter, this year, this calendar year, or early next year. And so let me give you a bit of an overview, and then we can dive into a few of those aspects. So we already heard earlier, we're going to go general available this year still across the major regions, across all the major languages. We're going to integrate with AppSource, which is, you saw that on the slides around the platform, the central way to really distribute applications for business users, both for line of business apps as well as for ISV apps and others, and we'll dive into that a little bit more. Environments is a concept that we're rolling out prior to GA, which will let you really have these units of administration where you can administer your data, your connections in these separate environments so that you can, for example, separate out either by geography or by dev test prod, by the purpose of the environment. It means that you can have developers have individual environments if you want, and they're completely separate and separately managed and administered from the overall environment you might use for production across your company. So a key element, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Once you have environment, you need somewhere to admin all of this, and so we're adding a admin center before GA. This way, you can dedicate people to have administration capabilities. The tenant admin will also be able to see all environments in across the tenants, so it gives you the central control. We know that's always a concern. You want to be able to understand what's happening inside of your company, and through the admin center, you will be able to do that. Data flow policies is another one of these things that we got asked for a lot, and we are glad that we can introduce it very, very soon. It lets you control the flow of data that's permissible. So you'll be able to look at specific types of data sources and say, I will not allow data to go from my critical business database onto Twitter automatically, for example, because that's probably not what your business would want to do. And we'll dive into that a little bit. The other major aspect that we're adding is dynamic forms. So at the moment, if you build a form in Power Apps, right, it's what we consider basically a static form. Now, you can pixel accurately place it. You can build these stunning looking apps that really look like pro dev applications. And some of the examples we've seen today show that. And we have lots of other examples where really as a user, you feel like this is a custom built application. It's great to build these things that are visually stunning and very carefully laid out. You know, in the IPS case, you had the pictures specifically around the motor and all these things. However, we know that there are lots of business processes where what you really are after is the ability to control, for example, by what role a user has, what data they see in the form, or also you want to be able to centrally update the form. You know, if there's a process and you want to add a step or you need to capture a new field for some business object that you maintain in the database, you don't want to have to go and update each application that has one of these manual forms. And this is where these reusable dynamic forms come into play. We'll launch that in preview in this year. And so you'll be able to define forms at the entity level. So in the common data platform, you can now go and create your forms, which then you can take as part of a Power App, and that will be dynamic, and we'll have a few screenshots actually about that later, so I can go into a bit more detail. But I think that's it's a whole new set of functionality that's coming that a lot of you have been asking for. And by combining that with the absolute positioning on screens, we're really excited about the kind of apps you can build now even faster. Flow is not sitting idle either. In addition to all the mobile stuff, the mobile flow creation so on that is coming, we're also adding a lot more administration-related capabilities. So in this case, this means that I can now have flows that I can co-author with multiple people. I can share the flows. So at the moment, a flow is authored in the context of a specific user, which is great and very straightforward and common use case. But equally, if you attach a flow, for example, to a SharePoint list, you probably want that to be logically more part of the SharePoint list than part of, you know, the person who has created it. For example, if that person wins the lottery and they leave the company, you probably want to be able to keep maintaining that flow. And so that's where co-authoring and sharing of flows will provide that ability. Down the road, some of the other major items that we are adding is the closed Power BI integration, already talked about at the beginning with regards to the automatic model generation that we're adding, and that will let you integrate Power BI graphs based on the data in CDM or external into a Power Apps. Moving applications between environments will be possible with solution packages. And of course, on the whole extensibility front, where we already have a lot of the capabilities to integrate with ProDev Code, as you saw in a few examples, we'll go even one step further, and we'll both improve the ALM story as well as provide control extensibility so that you can all build custom controls. We'll make business processes and logic equally reusable and dynamic by having it driven from the data platform over the entities. We'll make the sync with Office data happen so that you now see a certain calendar and email data directly there in the platform so you can use it to join data. The security model of the platform will get even further enhanced. Probably worth calling out that the common data platform is actually built on AX technology. So it's a proven high-performance scalable platform that we're using as the basis here. So even though we just announced Common Data Platform last month, the technology and the architecture that it's based on is well-proven behind very large ERP systems, which gives us the confidence to make those claims about it being scalable, it being ready for enterprise-wide deployment. Equally, the security model is already very sophisticated, and we'll expose a lot more of that early next year. We'll have more embedded capabilities. So you saw the SharePoint Online embedding. We'll add more different embeddings into other products as well so that you have the in-context experience. Okay, let's dive into a few of those. Now I'll make sure I'll try and have time for one more demo at the end, show you a little bit about the editing stuff. So dynamic forms, You see on the top right, actually, that's an early version of the form editor. So you'll be able to build these forms over your entities. You'll have field groups and other advanced concepts, so you can define your lists and your detail entry form and so on. You can associate them with specific roles down the road. So you really have fine-grained control over what a user will see. We'll provide you the standard entity forms out of the box. And then these forms, as we said, can be used within your screen layouts, and you can resize them, and the layout will adapt. The layout within that form control will adapt to the size it has. It's very, very cool stuff that makes it easy to be dynamic and have the form updates being reflected throughout all the applications that use a specific form or business process. And so great new stuff that I think will make it even more productive to build especially larger applications with Power Apps. We talked about environments. It really is like, I guess it's a fairly standard concept. You have this box around your database, around apps flows and connections that you can administer as one unit. You can then dedicate them to specific purposes. That's really up to you how you want to use them. I think a common use case will be to use environments for dev, test, prod. You know, the prod environment is locked down. Of course, developers typically wouldn't have access to that data set or being allowed to deploy it there, but they would be allowed and have full control over the dev instance. Doing it by geography will often happen. Each environment, you can decide where to locate the data for it, so you can make sure you place the data local to where it is as needed. You can also go a lot smaller grain and start, for example, having specific teams have their individual environments. So it makes it easy to get started with like smaller disconnected systems that all are at the team level. And then as you find you want to combine the data and build larger environments, you can simply create new environments, sync the data into it to have the combined data, especially for BI. The more you combine data into a single environment, you get the bigger picture over that data. And then you'll use packages to move applications, to move solutions between those. Here is a quick shot of the admin center I mentioned. So you'll be able to administer the security, the roles for these environments. What we're showing here is an aspect of the data loss prevention. It's kind of this policy editor. So you can classify certain connectors at having a certain criticality to your business, and then can define rules where you say you're never allowed to move data from this type to this type. So for example, you might be allowed to have a flow that moves data from Twitter into a business database, but you typically wouldn't want to have a system be allowed to take business data and tweet it out. So you can define these rules, and they will prevent those actions from happening so that you've got central control. As a tenant admin, you can roll out those policies across all your tenant, and for each environment, you can refine them further. And so this very flexible model, we want to make sure that the small teams are happy, as well as the central control that we often need for larger companies. AppSource, already public, you can go to it today. It's really all about being able to distribute applications. It's for ISV apps, but also in this case, of course, for solutions put together with Power Apps flows and the common data platform. And I think one aspect that we're really excited about and that will actually launch still this year is around the integration with what we call the organization gallery or the org gallery. We see as it becomes easier to build applications or Power BI dashboards and so on, you find that a lot of people are doing it, which is great, and they start sharing their work. It's very straightforward to share an application, and sometimes people get maybe almost over-eager to share, and they think, clearly, the world needs to see my app. What happens is, already at Microsoft, I now see about 100 apps, if I open Power Apps, that people gave me access to. It starts to sometimes get unwieldy, and so what we've learned from things like Power BI is that we want to move to more of a pull model, where the users have a place where they can go to see what applications they have access to that are available to them, and they can then decide which of those they actually want. And so in the org gallery, you'll see the apps you have access to because they were shared with you or your security group, and then you can say, I want this, and it will show up in your portal. At the same time, admins will have the ability to push out applications to users. So if there's a new corporate app or something crucial to a set of people, it can actually be basically pushed onto those users so that they will always see it. And between those two things, we think it'll be very straightforward to make sure that you see the applications you're most interested in without getting too cluttered. We'll have ISV integration with that down the road so that you as an ISV or partner can create solution packages, make them available in the public gallery, and so now everybody with a system can go and use your solution because of the standard entities. You can do that for very complex ones, as well as, of course, include your own custom entities if you want to. Okay, and then the flow side I talked already about. The ability to share and collaborate flows is something that will come out by GA. It means you can now have multiple people author a flow. You will be able to publish to AppSource as well down the road. We actually just released Creation from Mobile. I don't know who here is using the Flow mobile app. It was the most requested feature we had for that product. So now you can go and customize and edit or create from scratch a new flow from directly from your cell phone. We'll actually go further down that path of optimizing Flow Mobile. So you'll get location triggers and other things to trigger flows. So you can really take advantage of having that capability with you on the road, so to speak. Okay, with that said, that was kind of a quick overview of the platform. Let's quickly try and show you a little bit about how easy it is actually to build all of these applications. So far, we've shown you the apps, but haven't really shown just how to build them. So let me switch over. By the way, one thing I realized we haven't really talked about, we've kind of shown it, which is that any Power App you create will run across all mobile platforms, so iOS and Android. We'll add Windows 10 mobile phone as well. As well as on the web. So in between, you saw tablet apps, right? The TransAlta use case, that's something people will actually run in the web player, on the desktop. The Mars app is something specifically for a phone. And here we've got another example of an application for a phone. This is what we consider more of a role-based application. So previous apps were focused around tasks, meaning that they showed you kind of, they took the user through a specific set of steps that they needed to complete what they do in their line of work. This is now more a role-specific app, meaning it aggregates the different tasks that a user will do. In this case, it's for a retail associate on a shop floor. So this would be an app that lets them, for example, go and view open orders. This app, by the way, is integrated against CDM, so the orders and the order lines that you see here actually coming directly from the common data platform. But in this case, I'd actually want to use this more as an excuse to show you how these apps are being built. So let me go into the editor. So this is Power App Studio. Doesn't quite look like a common development environment, does it? And that's part of why it's so accessible to business analysts and Power users, because it's a lot more welcoming than just here's the prompt and go and start typing some code. Instead, what we have is you see on the left side the different screens. Just like PowerPoint a little bit, you can create a new screen if you want, and then you place elements on that. And this is how you can build up these applications. You see on the top, you've got the ability to, for example, insert new controls. And then here in this screen, we also see all the data sources. When we're talking about working across data sources, we really aren't kidding. This, for example, combines a bunch of Azure Data Warehouse tables with CDM data and connects to some other APIs as well. So to drive this home, just how easy it is to add something, let me zoom in a little bit so you guys can see. So let's say at the moment, you see there's my name. This isn't just my name being typed as a string, but instead, this is actually an expression. So this is a text field where we're doing a lookup. So we're using the user function to understand the currently logged in user, and then we get the full name. So anybody who's done any Excel will find that the whole expression bar is a very, very familiar concept for them. Now, the neat thing is, Let's say I want to add to the app which department I'm in, right? Because it's a shop floor app. If I see this lying around, I probably wouldn't know where a random person works. But if I see what department they're in, I could go and make sure they get the tablet or cell phone back, for example. You can do this using the power of the Microsoft Graph, for example. So Microsoft Graph is this API we provide that lets you access data about the current user very easily and use it as part of applications. So in this case, that would be the Office 365 user API. Let me show you how easy it is to add. I just go to add a connection, so I need to connect to the data source. And you see I have a bunch of different connections here. In this case, you want to take the Office 365 users. Simply click on that, and I've now added that connection to my application, so I can go and access it from here. Now, what would I do in PowerPoint if I want to add some text and make sure it's the same way formatted? Well, I do Control-C and Control-V to copy, and that's exactly what I'm going to do here as well. So I just copied this box. You see even, I don't know whether you can see it on the screen, but it snaps to alignment, all the things you're used to from things like PowerPoint, so it's easy to make sure this will look good. However, of course, I don't really want to just display the same name again. I would want to change the expression that I see here. I want to call the API I just added, so I would just start typing Office 365. You already see the IntelliSense, the completions are coming in. So I want to call the Office 365 users API. That has a function called myProfile, which will give me the profile back for the currently logged in user. And within this profile, I now got a whole bunch of fields. So you see here, I can see department, the display name, given name, and you actually can see there's a whole bunch of information, job title, all these things that are there. In this case, we said we want the department, so I simply click on the department. You now see one of the other really neat things, which is that this is fully WYSIWYG. Literally, what you see is what you get, because whilst this is the creation environment, the application actually executes as we are displaying it, which means that as I was typing this expression, I get the instant validation. Yep, it's right. And you see that I work indeed for Power Apps in Redmond. And that makes it very straightforward to build these applications, because instead of like making some changes, going to compile step and then running it, as you're building the app, you directly see what is happening. And that works, by the way, for buttons as well. So you noticed I was in the orders earlier. I can just click on the orders button within this application. Takes now two clicks because the first one selects it, the second one actually executes the action, and you see I'm now back on the screen when I was running it. So that's what makes it so intuitive. That's why people like TransAlta can have new graduates go and design interfaces and integrate with their backend systems because it's so straightforward. At the same time, thanks to connecting to APIs and these expressions that you have, you can go to very complex applications. And if you, at one point, hit the limit of what you can express within Power Apps, then you just integrate with the ProDev API. Excellent. Well, with that, looks like we'll still have a couple of minutes for questions. So if, Case, if you can join us back on stage. Want to quickly plug some of the related sessions. Clearly, this was only a brief overview over what we are doing. You can go to the deep dives about the common data model, about the integrations with Office, find out more about Flow, or more about Power Apps as well. I know Power BI, another big topic, so we also have a whole bunch of BI-related sessions that are great to attend. As you said, we will integrate Power BI extremely closely as well, so that all this will translate to what you can do with the platform. And lastly, of course, if you haven't used Power Apps Flow or Power BI, go to the URLs and you can go and get started straight away. And I think with that, are there any questions?
Yeah. Mics, please.
We have some crews at work out in the field, and connectivity is always an issue. How does the Power Apps front end work with offline syncing?
So at the moment, we do require the data sources to be online. Offline is something that will come next year. The intermittent connected scenarios, especially given how we have a lot of customers create solutions for work crews going on sites, so that is functionality that will be added. Cool. Any other questions? If you could head to a microphone. Okay. So premium connectors and CDM are not included in the Office queues, so there will be an add-on SKU that will basically let you upgrade to the full capabilities. Sorry, the question was around the if I have an Office SKU, but I want to use some of these additional capabilities that are only in the standalone, then there is this Delta SKU available so that you can kind of upgrade from what you have in Office to the full version.
P2. On Dynamics 65, there's an enterprise. There's two enterprise plans. Plan one, plan two. With both enterprise plans, you go to a plan if you have more than one workload. It's cheaper to go to a full enterprise plan, plan one or two in Dynamics 65. So in Dynamics 65, there's two full plans. Any of those plans will have PowerApps Flow and CDM.
The full version.
The full version.
Correct.
The P2 version.
Including CDM and premium connectors.
Yeah, which plans are we packaging with MXE5?
I saw that you mentioned co-authoring. Is that live co-authoring, or is it just that more than one person can edit that Microsoft Flow?
So the initial will be not live co-authoring. It will be individual. Multiple people have edit access, the same for Power Apps. Over time, we will make sure that you can do it truly kind of at the same time and that we have the merge management and so on.
Thank you.
Cool. Yes, please.
Is this intended to be a replacement solution for InfoPath?
It certainly will cover a lot of the same use cases. So InfoPath will remain supported, and if you go to the SharePoint sessions, they will, of course, talk about it. But really, this is the new technology for a lot of those use cases. You saw some of the form support and so on. We're going to expand it further along those lines, and so we would recommend that if you have a problem that previously you used InfoPath for, you should start taking a look at the Power Apps integration into SharePoint. And because it's included in the plans, of course, it makes it a very easy transition as well.
Go ahead.
If I heard correctly, you said that these Power Apps and Flow will be included in the e-plans of Office 365.
Correct.
I can see a lot of scenarios where deskless workers with kiosk plans could benefit to using those Power Apps. Is there any possibility to include some sort of functionality for there, or will there be a step up for K plans to include Power Apps as well?
The K plans.
Yes.
Currently no plans, but happy to talk through the scenarios that you currently see.
Yeah.
No plan right now.
Yes.
For the K plans.
Okay. We're doing good. We are 60 seconds before the end, and we seem to run out of questions. So with that, thank you very much for attending.